Welcome to the official podcast of A Conscious Partner. Our initiative is bringing affordable access to relevant information for anyone in search of impactful self-development. ACP specializes in hosting growth workshops, which bring awareness to the most important topics in life. It's a place for everyone and anyone to come together with the goal of gradually culminating our own security in a fun, safe environment. And now with our hosts, Bruce Doherty, Jaggy, and Dr. Giselle Tennant, let's get into today's discussion.
We're back.
Look at that.
Oh my God.
We always approach the second episode. It's funny because we made this joke last time we did too on Monday. Yeah, so people are like, oh my God, you guys are so funny.
Well, I am.
Oh man.
Anyway, back for episode number 7.
Yes. Lucky number 11.
Yes.
Hi, guys. We're excited to be here.
Hi, Jaggy.
I'm happy to be here, too.
How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing good.
Good. My pen. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's,
okay.
That's okay. We're talking about some stuff today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the programs that are going to be coming up shortly.
Yes.
Probably about 3 weeks from this episode is going to be, we're going to have three different programs going, one for each of us. I think they're starting on that November 9th week, if I remember correctly. And we're just going to kind of go through each program and help people understand why they may or may not want to show up for that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think we mentioned it in the last podcast how we wanted to make these, our programs, aka the spotlights. We wanted to shine a light on the dark areas of the room so that you guys can, you know, have some targeted growth.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about the next month that are coming available. Like, kind of like a plug, but also just why it's important.
Yeah, because you might be trying to figure out, okay, where do I go next?
Where do I start?
What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on in my life right now and what would help you the most?
Well, especially with the names. Like, this first one that I'll be doing is called Spoons and Forks.
And it's not about food.
What the heck does that mean?
We're doing culinary now.
No, that's just a play on, we're just different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all utensils. We're just different.
So you just want to start with that one and go from
there? Yeah, let's start with spoons and forks and help people understand. It's about understanding each other. It's about really understanding what's going on in the other person's brain. Doesn't matter who you are, what gender, whatever. We're just different.
And we
can be different. We're allowed to be different. And different is okay.
Well, we see every day in the media how different we are because we all have very different opinions about very many things. But it doesn't mean that our opinions are wrong, per se.
Well, it's just different. That's the key thing, right? Just because someone thinks differently than you doesn't mean that they're wrong. And are we open to even just consider, what their opinion is like, and where it's based from so that we can have a conversation?
Yeah, I always feel like it's, you know, your experience and things that you have learned. So understand that. People who haven't had your exact experience, like they didn't go to the same school, they didn't have the same parents, they didn't have the same things that happened to them. They came from an entirely different outlook. So, of course, they're going to have a different opinion than you, right?
They don't have the same jobs. They don't have the same bills. They don't have the same
people in their lives. The same.
Yeah. And then you throw in their personality and their attachment. So you throw in all of this. Yeah. So it's complex. Yeah.
So of course we're going to have difference of opinions, guys. Like, we can't all think the same way. So, but
it's okay that everybody else is wrong.
And that Bruce is right.
INTJs. Janus, INTJanus. That's what showed up just there.
You're everybody's welcome to be wrong.
As long as you're right, correct?
No, I don't have, I don't have to be right.
And you
just
are.
I just, more often than not, that's the way it works out.
Now the listeners are like, okay, what's going on here?
Who is this idiot?
We're not getting this, we're not in on the joke. Yeah.
The whole point here is that we got to have fun.
Yes, exactly. Well, we can still enjoy the altar, we can still enjoy the people even if they have a different opinion.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can enjoy them, yeah.
Yeah, we're making fun of him. That's how he is. Yeah. He likes to be right. That's always, it's just one of those things, but it's not wrong.
Yeah, as long as I can laugh at it. And
we can laugh at it.
And that's the whole point.
And we're not taking it seriously.
Personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just because he's wrong doesn't mean that.
See, Giselle's even having trouble saying it.
Maybe he's wrong.
Right. Anyway, we're all going through life together, right? We just got to figure out how to get along with each other. Yeah. And everybody thinks that the life is easier for somebody else. Everybody goes, well, they have it so easy, or they got so lucky, or they got so this, or they got so bad. And that's not what it is. The spoons and forks program is just understanding what's really going on. And so many times we don't understand what's really going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, last podcast episode was an example of that, where a lot of us have barriers towards growth and
that's right.
going into that room and looking at it.
And the understanding each other event, that's the first one in the program. And I remember you and I did this event live a couple of times. Oh, I know God. I've done it.
Yeah.
And the
which event?
The things it brings out, understanding each other.
Each other. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Remember we go through, and this particular one has some gender stuff in it. Mm-hmm. You know, women think that they have it so hard and men think that they have it so hard. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of go through all the things that we have it so hard on. But, and we remember that's the one where we flip the screen. We go, here's what one side thinks is hard. Mm-hmm. And then we flip it and we go look at it from their perspective.
Yeah.
And because they've got something that's mm-hmm. the opposite that mm-hmm. is just as hard for them. Mm-hmm. And in every single case, there's something over there that goes, okay, you're upset about this. But if you're the other person, you have this problem because of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all equally hard.
Yeah. This thing is we all have problems.
I think the problem is that we're trying to measure, well, what, you know, the level of intensity of my issues is more important than yours.
Well, that's just your ego or victim trying to take over there.
It's not.
Look at me, hear me. That's all that is.
Yeah. My trauma's
bigger than
your trauma. Or
why do you want your trauma to be better? Like, what does that even mean?
I know. Trauma's trauma.
My trauma rules them. It's like Deadpool. You know? Did you see Deadpool?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah. It is like Deadpool.
They basically compare their traumas for like an entire scene. It's great.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Next one is why we cheat. Once again, a lot of people think cheating. We went through this yesterday at the event I was hosting, and we talked about cheating. And so many people, the focus is all on the cheating. My partner cheated, and okay, well, your partner is a jerk or an asshole mm-hmm. or whatever word you want to use for it. And that's where all the focus is. Nobody's going and talking to the person going, well, your partner cheated. What Why? Led up to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because cheating doesn't just occur.
No.
Cheating doesn't just happen out of a vacuum.
It's like a symptom of a lot of other things.
So, sorry, the program we're touching on is Spoons and Forks, and the goal is about understanding each other.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. What just happened?
Caitlin just unhooked.
Yeah,
I unhooked.
She unplugged herself. No, you're on back on now.
Are you back on?
Yeah.
Well, you are if you lean forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, so
spoons and forks. What understanding each other? Well, I got to understand why we cheat, because so many people they blame other people, mm-hmm. and it's about understanding what's really going on. What's really going on when somebody cheats?
Yeah.
Understanding why women cheat. Understanding why men cheat. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as sex.
Yeah.
It's never like the stats show. It's about 20% of the time. It's actually about sex.
So the whole program, then, it's focusing on what are the differences and understanding the differences between partners so that we can appreciate it more.
And it's not even just partners. Yeah, it's everything.
True.
Like, so this could benefit your work. Like, if you have trouble at work, understanding why people are making the decisions they're making at work. It could be a work thing. It could be your friends. It could be your family. Mm-hmm. Like, understanding each other is just, it's coming to an acceptance that we're all different, but we can all still work together at some point, right?
We should be able to.
Where else, what are the other areas where we would have misunderstandings with people? Or, like, what kind of misunderstandings are we talking about?
Well, everything. Literally from why you're triggering.
Right.
Why you're having conflict the way you are. Why you're...
Yeah.
Why you have that tone of voice. Why you...
Right.
Why you can't communicate effectively.
Right.
Signs of emotional abuse. That's not in this event, but... Oh, yeah, emotional abuse. Sorry, it is in the last one.
It's the last one,
It's the last one,
event.
Emotional abuse is understanding emotional abuse, because so many people don't understand that, well, and what we discover at that event is that we're actually committing emotional abuse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We discovered, once again, this came up in Relationship Killers when we did it. Is inauthenticity emotional abuse?
Right.
Is defensiveness emotional abuse? Is avoiding? Mm-hmm. Is avoiding having a conversation? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to have a conversation. We're having a discussion or a disagreement or something. Mm-hmm. And me going, you know what? No, I don't want to. I don't even want to talk about it. Is that not emotional abuse?
Yeah. Where are we? I know one of the... We had a comment about that this week at one of the events about... Is it like abuse is, how do we define abuse?
Something that's impacts you emotionally.
Emotionally and negatively.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it isn't necessarily, doesn't mean like it's
People think it's yelling and screaming.
Well, yeah. That is abuse.
Oh, that, right. But that is abuse.
But that's because we have that viciousness almost.
Exactly.
It's like,
it's physical.
Right.
Only.
So
right.
What if somebody is being very subtly abusive?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, gaslighting is not yelling and screaming at somebody, is it?
It's abuse, yeah.
But it's emotional abuse. Okay, yeah. So gaslighting is emotional abuse.
Yeah.
Then why isn't avoiding emotional abuse?
And it is.
So it's just a little subtle way that we're trying to show people that maybe they think that they're not doing it, but they are.
They are.
Yeah.
In most cases.
I guess for our listeners, what are we avoiding? So we're avoiding the tough conversations. We're avoiding the work within ourselves. We're avoiding,
conflict?
We're avoiding to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to be vulnerable. We're not saying
what we really think.
Last podcast we had was we don't want to go in that room.
Right.
Yep.
I don't want to understand why I'm upset, so I'm just going to avoid.
And it's abuse because...
Well, how frustrating is that for your partner?
Yeah.
Well, no, abuse even to yourself.
Oh, yeah, right? Self-abuse
It's self-abuse because we're inhibiting ourselves, essentially. Like, we're doing... Like, someone's not doing that to us. Yeah. We're making the active choice to avoid.
So inhibiting your growth.
I just wanted to get that all full circle.
Yeah.
We're inhibiting our growth. And that is destructive because then we're not... Why is that destructive?
Well, because you're not growing. And you're not cleaning up that room.
Right. So you're just allowing baggage to sit.
Yep.
Toxic stuff that might lead to maybe disease down the line. Maybe the mental, you know? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think it's important for the listeners to understand how that path works.
Yeah, and how it connects.
Yeah.
It's a direct line between if we don't clean our stuff up, it's slowly going to start seeping into the rest of the smell is going to come out of that room and it's going to start stinking up the whole house.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
So it's really just coming, going down through the levels to really understand why.
Just like in that one again, should I sacrifice is in there, what we regret is in there, but we're just friends is in there. Once again, understanding.
Right. Sacrifice, that's just such a good one.
Friends.
I know it is, but I think sacrifice just because.
Well, because everybody says it. Everybody says, you know what, you got to know how to sacrifice in a relationship.
Yeah. No,
you don't.
Yeah, like we've said that before.
I know.
I'll probably keep repeating it.
I know, because then resentment, right? Because you're thinking.
Resentment.
You know, I didn't do what I wanted to do, and then, especially if the relationship doesn't work, right? And you're thinking, after I sacrifice all of this,
sacrifice anything if you're. Yeah. And once again, it's just about understanding, each other, understanding what the other person is doing, what they're thinking, why they're thinking it, what their perspective is on it.
So that's how we understand it. So if we understand from their perspective that what their truth is that they have been putting this work in from that perspective as like, okay, I've been sacrificing my time here because I've been trying to focus on here. Okay. Well, now we can be like, okay, well, I can understand actually how that person would feel like what they were doing was sacrificial. We can understand it. It's not that it's right or wrong. It's just understanding how they got there.
Put yourself in the other person's shoes
and how we can remedy that.
Well, in the course of this whole program is understanding that if your partner is using that word sacrifice, you need to deal with that.
Right, 100%. Yeah. That's
if you're starting to lose your emotional connection, that's what's going to happen. It's about understanding what's going on with your partner, understanding what's going on with your thought processes, and putting stuff in place to kind of get in front of it.
Right. Yeah. Again, all applicable as well to your boss, to your friends,
We use relationships really as the foundation of it.
Yeah.
But it applies
everywhere.
Because
we all want to find love. Of course. You know? Yeah. We all want that stuff.
Because we're human beings.
Exactly.
We're social beings, right?
So spoons and forks. Spoons and now you guys understand why we're all utensils. We're all utensils, right? We just show up differently.
I guess so.
and we have different functions.
Right.
We do have different functions. Use a spoon for this and a fork for that.
Well, the INTJ function is going to be way different from the ENFP function. Yes. Right? Yeah. Drastically different.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we're all not welcome in some way. In like, you
so
know
we
what
just
mean?
Have to understand.
We have to understand where we fit.
And if somebody's listening, yeah. she just talked about the Myers-Briggs, the letters yes. on the personality. Yes. That's what we learn at the What's My Personality? Yeah. Explore Your Personality.
Foundation of it.
So if we're looking it up, Bruce is INTJ, I'm ENTJ, so I'm more of an extrovert.
And so you're still the same, so though.
You're the same.
You're like the same.
Same logical brain.
You're like the same logical brain, right? Same processing.
Whereas I am the... ends. We have the ends in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the feeler perceiver.
Yeah, which is completely different.
And so many people, we talk about personality stuff and they go, well, I think that's all silly. I don't want to be put in a box. Mm-hmm. The idea of the personality is not to put you in a box. There's it's just to help you understand a perspective. Like, it was so helpful for me to go, okay, I'm an INTJ and Kaylin, you're an ENFP. And I'm going, well, no wonder we don't actually understand each other sometimes because I'm coming at it from the thinking logical perspective.
Yeah. And I'm,
and Kaylin's going, yeah, but that doesn't feel like I want to do that.
Yeah.
We're speaking, we have the same goal, but we're approaching it from two different angles. Right. So then it's like, well,
then it's respecting that it's okay to approach it differently.
Right. Yeah. Well, now I know that, you know, Kaylin, you might feel better if you do this, and this will help you feel this way. This will help you feel safe rather than coming at it from the logical approach of, you know what, you've got to get your this for this and this and this reason.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's just the same result, just two different approaches.
And this is why it's a foundation event. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need to know that first, right? And then you can understand.
Whereas I can talk to Giselle from that, that thinking, judging perspective.
Yeah.
Talk to you from a different one.
Yeah. Is personality in there?
No, it's a foundation event.
Because that
one just goes so far, just to understand how other people think, so then you know how you sound to them. Because that all the times my dad looked at me like I was an idiot, I sounded like an idiot to him because he didn't understand my perspective, right?
She's going, but this is how it makes me feel. And I'm going, who cares how it makes you feel?
And then the way that he approached you, like, he didn't understand that, he didn't 100% understand what you're saying.
Yes. And now we have this, we know, and we're aware of it, and we can,
I find interesting is that, well, like people say, well, how do they know? You know, they just, I don't want to be put in a box. Well, it's not like they decided it's going to be this. And there's years and years of observation, and you see how different people react and respond to different things. And then now you can categorize it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, asking questions.
And we can say, generally speaking, if you have this trait, you'll do these things.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we take it down so it's really clear. And I can't tell you how many people have said, you know, I've done this stuff for years and I've never experienced how clear this is. We're not telling anybody you have to think this way. We actually show you do you relate to this, but you might be in between also. Yeah.
So for our listeners, then, I mean, this program, Spoons and Forks, is really important, but remember, you need to take your
foundation events first.
Yeah, if you can't take the foundation events first, do it. You should have time, because if this is coming out a couple weeks before, you should have time to get at least a couple of them.
Every Sunday.
Oh, no, you'll get them all in. You can get them all in 2 weeks.
Perfect.
What else is in here? What we regret in there?
Yeah, so understanding our regrets, because... again, that can affect our actions too. It can affect our moods. If you're bothered by something that you didn't or did do however many years ago.
One of the key things is that people regret things they didn't do compared to...
Yeah, most people, they regret things they didn't do.
So do the thing.
Do the thing. Right. 100%. It influences how people behave, the choices that they're going to make. So understand if that person in your life has some regrets, okay, well, help them move past it, or, you know, I don't know, it's going to affect them, won't it?
If they have regrets?
Yes.
Well, we're all going to theoretically have some regrets. The key is to have as few as possible.
But most of our events do a good job of putting those regrets to bed, because, you know, I mean, acceptance, letting go of the past, like...
That's right.
All of that
you
kind
of
stuff.
You can control it. It's done. Right? Yeah. It's done. You need to move forward.
So, understand your regrets is important.
So what's the next one? What's the next one in this?
Clearly speaking, you know how we say that people will say communication is key. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, how can we clearly express what we want? Right? So things like, obviously, communication, and it's all about listening.
Right.
When we're talking about communication, are we listening actively, or are we listening so that we can understand, or are we listening just so that we can respond?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, hurry up and say what you have to say so that I can say what I have to say instead of, let me paraphrase and figure out what you're saying, right?
100%.
So that I don't understand.
So yeah, Giselle's hosting this one at the same time, starting that November 9 weekend.
Yeah.
Right. And so this next program is
this
called
next program,
clearly speaking,
and
all communication.
The first one is communication. We talk about that. And we also talk about the power of vulnerability. How is it, you know, how powerful it is to be able to say what you want to say, be vulnerable, and share your emotions and not walking on eggshells?
Well, let's imagine a couple scenarios. We have touched on it. So people kind of know what we're talking about. How does this relate back to the real life?
A lot of people don't. Everybody says I'm being vulnerable, but they don't realize they're not being vulnerable. And a lot of people ask what are called trap questions. Mm. And the trap questions, the best example that I always use is, Caitlin, you and I have a disagreement or a problem the night before.
Right.
So we get up the next day and I go, you know what? I want to get their feedback on what they thought of our conversation or what did you think of our conversation? And 99% of people would go with their partner. So what did you think of the conversation we had last night?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of a trap question.
That's it. Right. Instead of just a statement, it's like, you know, I really like that we were able to talk last night about whatever the
how
topic
do you
is,
feel?
You know,
why don't you express
and
what you feel first?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we got somewhere.
And that way your partner's not left going, okay, I don't know what they think.
Right.
So did they think it was really crap and I'm going to say it's really good and then we're going to have another fight? So vulnerability means putting your opinion up on the table and then asking for an opinion after
that's
that.
That's such a huge part of communication.
That's right. Because I think people use, they see the word vulnerability and they're thinking, oh, it's a negative thing because it means now I'm going to be susceptible to people abusing me. But that's not what it is. It's really opening up.
No, it's just about being secure within yourself, knowing that.
To be able to say what.
Yeah, to say what you actually mean. Be authentic.
Yeah.
Even to say, you know what? I think I'm just triggering right now. I just need to, I just need to understand what that's about. I just need a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, or people do it all the time too. They talk about, well, what if we're in the middle of a discussion or a fight or whatever you want to term it. And they say, I just need to clear my head for a minute. Yeah. And I said, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do that, but don't just leave the room.
That's right. Tell them what you're doing.
You need to go, okay, just so you know, I'm just a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
This is not about you at all. This is about me. Yeah. I just want to go take 15 minutes and just go relax for a second. And then, is that okay with you type of thing?
And this is why we say to people, it's really a good idea if you have like a word. What is your safety word?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And you know what it means. You don't have to get into a long conversation.
Right.
You know,
you understand.
If you're saying, okay, eraser.
Rumpelstiltskin. That's always the best word.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice is the one that I'm
pretty sure we made this joke already.
But it is important though to make sure that we for sure let the person know that we are coming back. I'm not just leaving the room, right?
Yeah.
I respect you enough that I know right down emotionally.
We're not closing the door to communication. I just need a break because again, recognizing your trigger in that moment is so pivotal in the long term growth of your relationship. Just being able to be like, okay, no, I'm triggering here. I'm still growing. I'm still learning about something. I do appreciate you and what we're doing here. I need to calm down so I can approach you better.
That's right. And your partner isn't going to say, well, why are you triggering?
Right.
Well, if they do, that's a different problem.
Well, but if they, again, hopefully they're just like, okay, we'll talk about trigger too.
That's right.
But that's what I mean.
If you're communicating properly, then you would know not to do that. Right?
Yeah.
So this is, we have communication is the first one, then the power of vulnerability.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're looking at curious or defensive. Right.
Right.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, I just did that one.
We just know.
And it's powerful because, again, it's approaching just any life scenario.
Yeah.
It changes your life if you just get curious instead of defensive.
Just find out, okay, you know, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Let's elaborate a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know.
You're
a fool.
Why? Why am I a fool?
Well,
and the tone that we use is also important.
Like I just said that. And
what the hell do you mean I'm a fool?
Yeah.
There's one, and she'll know who she is when I mention this. I just used her as an example because I knew that she would be okay with it.
Yeah.
As long as we
because we start talking about the reason we get defensive.
Yeah.
Is because in the back of our mind somewhere, there's a part of us that believes that that statement might be
100%.
True.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
That's what insecurity is.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's what
and
that is.
So we use the examples of if somebody came to you and said, the world is flat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get defensive. You don't trigger when somebody says that, do you?
You
just look at them and go, well, okay, let's go with that. That's fine. And it doesn't bother you because you know that it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's your inherent truth that No, I know that the Earth is a globe.
You know? And it could be that somebody then comes to Giselle and says, short people are stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And you go,
all right.
Yeah, okay.
And I would go, yeah. Why do you think that's Dr. Giselle to you?
Wouldn't you want to know why? Like, why do you think
that? But that's a curious part. Yeah. Why do you think that short people are stupid?
Have you heard that joke?
Which we don't think.
When people say, you know, I found a way to deal with stupid people, I just agree with what they say. And then the person says, well, I disagree with you. And they said, yeah, you're absolutely right.
But it's true though. I mean, it is just kind of going with the flow, almost letting life happen. Okay, this person's presenting this situation to me. I wonder why. What can I learn from this?
But then this is where it kicked in because I used those two examples. And then I said, okay. Then I said her name and I said, you're a bad mom.
Oh my God.
And
did she trigger?
Yeah, she did a little bit. And she knew she shouldn't, and she knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, when, you know, it was about a minute or two, she came back. She says, you know what? When you said that, I did trigger.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. Well, and why did you trigger? She said, because then she started thinking about it. Well, I'm a single mom.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I'm doing all the right stuff for my kids.
Right?
And I'm, and so she had to think about it and go, oh, okay. So when somebody called me a bad mom, it triggered something in my brain that I was worried about that.
But you still haven't healed yet.
I'm not confident.
Yeah.
That I'm doing a good mom, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so that's where you have to. We have to build our self-esteem in that area.
Self-esteem, self-confidence that you're doing the right thing.
And that's why when somebody triggers us, it's so important to don't attack them for triggering you. No. Understand what that trigger is.
Why is this problem here?
Yeah.
Right, be curious. Why am I having this reaction?
Yeah, what is happening? Yeah, so take it back to clearly speaking. It's not just about how you speak to others, but it's also how you speak to yourself.
100%. Right?
And what questions you ask yourself. You know, those important questions.
Well, yeah, it's communication with others, but it also comes back to the communication with yourself, too. Yeah. It's like, you, again, it comes in transparency and vulnerability and authenticity. Can you do those things with yourself first before you can even do that with someone else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Full circle.
What's the next one? Yeah, the next one that we do is, it's not about the nail, right? It's like sometimes when we're in a discussion with others, we kind of find distractions. Instead of talking about the real issue, we find all kinds of different distractions. It's just a short little video that's on the internet, but my God, it's just so powerful to see how we do things differently.
And there's a link to the video, I believe, in the description on the website under the programs. Yeah, I put a link there, people can go find it.
Because really, we focus on the nail and not on the real issue. What is hiding behind that?
Well, in that one, I remember when we did the research on that one, we looked at it. And if you go and do the research on the psychology behind, it's not about the nail. And we went and we looked and all of the answers were coming back as in, you need to make space. You need to allow them to speak. You need to do all that. But then Giselle and I looked at it and went, well, that doesn't match up with recognition and responsibility and authenticity and transparency. And it doesn't match up with anything. And we had to then go deeper because we can't tell people to do one thing in one event and then come over to this event and tell them to do something different.
Right.
We'd have to dissect it and see, okay, what are the common links?
Yeah.
Right? So that, okay, how do you deal with the real issue? And how do you, like, you know, find out what's underneath this,
you
know, all the things that we're saying?
And, so again, so bringing it back to clearly speaking, it's just like going through the communication. So we're not only now communicating and we're understanding and back in the thing, but you have to choose to dig through it almost, right?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, wouldn't it be amazing if you can actually, and we call it clearly speaking, because you're really clear in your intent, in what you say, in what you do, how do you say it, how do you do it.
There's no fog on it. It's completely transparent. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and the idea behind the video is that one person has come home and they have this thing weighing on their mind.
Right.
And it's that standard, male-female thing of, I don't want you to solve the problem. I just want you to listen to me. And so, but the bigger problem for us is,
why does this scenario exist?
Why is the person coming home with this stuff on their mind to burden
themselves?
Because if we go to the four agreements, so obviously they took something personally today.
Yeah.
Why are they taking it personally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. They haven't taken the time to go through it in their mind first. They're just coming in and dumping.
Yeah.
Is that in the relationship?
Is that doing your best?
Yeah.
It's not doing your best. Yeah.
Not being impeccable with their word, probably.
Yeah.
Is your partner even ready to do this?
That's right. Yeah. Are they ready for this conversation? Or are we just dumping? Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas if we can deal with all this stuff on our own, when somebody says something to us outside the house, and it, quote, hurts our feelings.
Yeah.
Let's figure out why it hurt our feelings. Let's figure out why we took it personally first.
Yep.
Why do we need to?
That's right.
And then when we come home, we go, you know what? I had this happen to me today, and I took it personally, and that was really weird. Mm-hmm. But so I dealt with
now
it.
Now you can
so
have a conversation.
Let's have dinner.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one thing I was thinking, too, is that sometimes we start talking to our partner, and we don't even know, are they ready? Are they in the frame of mind that they can listen to this conversation we're going to have? It makes me think that, you know, in the old days when we used to call people, use our phone, right? Like, usually you would say, the person answering, you say, hi, it's Giselle, right?
Yeah.
And, but you wouldn't just, like, the person says hello, and then you start talking right away and say, so, when are you, you know, like, you would say who you are, so that they know who they're talking to, like, you set the time, right?
There's almost, like, etiquette before the conversation.
So that they're ready to know how they're going to.
And then there's the other thing, right? Somebody says, well, my partner should just be able to listen to me when I come home. Okay, well, what if that partner doesn't want to? Why does your right to want to have them listen trump their right to want to not to listen to that? Mm-hmm. Like, why is one right and the other one wrong?
Right.
That's not fair.
You have to collaborate. That's not it. What works for your relationship?
Where's the balance? It's really about the balance. It's just finding the balance.
Well, take the crap out of the relationship.
Yeah.
Eliminate it.
Dig through the
deal with it.
And one way to do that is the next one, which is setting boundaries.
Yes. We've definitely got into boundaries.
We have heavily.
It seems like we talked about that last podcast, didn't we?
But if people are trying to go, well, okay, if I have difficulty communicating and I'm thinking about going to this program and putting the spotlight on communication, well, why is boundaries important? Well, you have to set your boundaries and you have to be able to communicate with the boundaries.
Well, that's the big scenario.
Communicate the boundaries.
Because you can send one in your brain and not say anything.
It's like, how come they don't know that it's a boundary of mine? Well, you didn't tell them.
You didn't have the conversation.
Well, no, but sometimes you do tell them, but you don't put the consequence in place and then you don't enforce it.
Exactly. If you're not enforcing the consequences.
And that's often because you've made the consequence too severe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You've got to do the consequence in stages. You can't go, okay, if you do this again, it's a divorce. Mm-hmm. It's too severe.
Yeah.
You've got to go. Yeah. And you can start with a fun one.
It's going to be appropriate, too, at the level of whatever the...
And you can start out with fun stuff.
A lot of people think
the word consequence has to be a negative thing. It does not have to be negative. It can be positive.
Yeah.
The consequence of eating healthy is you get fit.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, like bringing it back to that previous like example we were using about the person coming home and dumping. I mean, again, that's a boundary you can communicate. This type of conversation doesn't benefit my well-being. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is that a boundary?
At that time, you can just walk in the door and do it. Yeah, when you walk in the door. So when first we have thing those things in, I want to talk about, let's give...
I want a hug first. I want to,
You know, it's the same thing as the parent who comes home and, you know, there's a bunch of shoes or whatever by the door. And who left their shoes there again? You just walked in the door.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the kids will want to say, hey, hi, how was your day? All of those things, right?
Instead of just asking, if you are wanting to, quote unquote, dump... Ask me ahead of time if I'm in the mental state to...
But ask yourself first, why do I want to dump?
When you have that conversation, then it's going to be constructive.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've already deciphered to... Communication. And then the last one is really about, can we talk?
Right, which is phenomenal, which is a really good one, last episode.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, how do you start
important conversations?
Yeah. How do you start those important conversations?
Because again, going back to what we even just talked about with spoons and forks, like the way we approach it might be very different from the way the other person would expect you to approach it. So like just not having that awareness ahead of time is going to make communication.
Well, and that's about how do we approach a conversation where the other person doesn't automatically feel defensive?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you say to your partner, okay, I need to talk to you, or we need to have a talk, or you know, or they ask you something and you say, how are you? And you're like, I'm fine. Like all those little things that we say that we know that we're not being, we're not clearly communicating how we feel or what we really want to say.
All those passive aggressive comments, the comments that have the undercuts included in them.
That's right.
That was actually one of the cool parts about that event is like having all of the potential things that people you hear them say all the time. It's that's like, right. Oh shit, I've been saying that.
Yeah, I accept that.
No wonder he triggered.
Like, check, check. And then can you turn it around? What if it was said to you? How would you feel? You
know, well, I don't feel good. I would probably reply with one of the other clippy responses after
Well, and also and we don't know what mood anybody's in. Yes. We don't know. We may throw some tone in there. We might get some passive aggressive. We might get a whole bunch of different things in with that. And I mean, to me, that all comes back so many times to it's really our attitude towards our partner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If
do you love and respect them?
If I think my partner loves me, why would they mean it in a negative way?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And well, they use tone. Okay, so does that mean my partner can never use tone for the rest of his or her life?
Right.
Does my partner have to approach life from the absolute perfect perspective for the rest of their lives?
Right, can we not make mistakes?
Well, yeah, and if they do that, they're going to be walking on eggshells.
That's right.
And they're not going to be able to be authentic. Because there are times like where you're frustrated.
Yeah, I get to be frustrated.
You're going to have slip-ups.
Yeah, yeah, we will. But how do we accept that? And how do we come back from that?
Because again, and I also think that like that experience changes. Like if you can allow them the security of knowing that they can make that mistake and you're going to be able to handle it, that it provides them further leverage to then tackle that issue. It's like, oh shit, I know I did this wrong. Thank you so much for your patience.
I'll give you a good example of that one.
And you'll be able to, and they will apologize.
Yeah, they're going to feel bad because they know what they did.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. You like somebody could be, you could both be in the kitchen cleaning up and the one partner leans over, why on earth did you load the dishwasher like this? And they could have some tone in their voice because they're a little frustrated because something has happened today and they're just a little frustrated and they have to reset the dishwasher. And if that other partner can turn around and go, my whole goal was just to piss you off. And then that might wake the one up enough to go, oh, okay. Well, I guess, that's obviously not what you were doing. Yeah. And I guess I had some tone in there.
Yeah.
I'm guilty for that.
Instead of, hey, you know, like in that's what you have to say about the dishwasher. At least I loaded it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then we could get defensive on that.
We could get defensive and say, hey, at least I put the dishes in the dishwasher.
You can allow them to have the space to, because they will realize it. They will. Just don't take it personally. No, obviously, if they're giving you attitude in some way, it's not reflective of you. It's
not if you assume your partner loves you.
Right. That's right. If they love you, then there's something.
And why not?
There's something else wrong.
If they don't, then why are you in the relationship?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
What's the point of being there? If I'm going to make the assumption my partner is saying something to hurt me, we have a different problem.
Yeah. Right. Why are you in a relationship
with something, else?
Who you're expecting to hurt you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So when those few times where it could come across that way and so many people make that assumption and for us, it's about just assume the other side, just assume the other and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And then communication.
Communication.
It comes down to communication. So obviously that's why that's an important part.
So when your partner screws up, stop and go, there must be something wrong. I need to lighten this. Yeah. I don't need to make a big serious thing out of this.
Yeah.
Just go, whatever you have to say.
Ignore the issue. Yeah. Because,
It doesn't need to become a conflict.
I can see you must have had a day. Is there something that I can help you with?
Yeah.
You know, you can, I would use sarcasm. Although some people don't like sarcasm, so that's fine.
It's like, it's like, okay, show me how you'd like to see it done.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure I do it that way next time.
And that's it. You just.
Right.
I mean, if it's
how would everybody approach it? Like, I would. I want to be in a relationship where I can use sarcasm. Yeah. But how would you guys? How would you guys do it?
Well, for me,
you go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, if we're talking about the dishwasher, like, it really, as long as the dishes are clean, I really don't care how they.
Well, no, but your partner has said to you.
They've said to me.
Why on earth did you load the dishwasher like this? What would your?
And for me, it would be like, you know what? I didn't think about it. I just, you know, and I would ask, like, can you show me how you would do it? Because it doesn't matter to me, but I see it's important to you. So, like, let me know how you'd like to maybe have an idea why it should be done in a certain way. Like, it doesn't.
You mean just like the last 72 times I showed you?
but somebody could say that. I had actually, you know my story. It's not about the dishwasher. It was about the blinds, right?
Oh,
it was such a symptom about something else. Like, why the hell would the blinds close that way? And to me, it was like, the blinds, like, you know, this is the same way I've always closed the blinds, and then all of a sudden it's an issue. So this is a symptom of something else.
Right? Yeah, for me, it's because I think, because I'm more of the person that does those comments. Like, I'm the one that makes the, why isn't this done? Why did you do this? Like, I'm the one that, like, does that. So I, like, for me, or like if someone was to do it for me, I would probably approach it from the compassionate way. It's just like, hey guys, or what's going on? Are you okay? Everything yeah. fine? I didn't mean to. Like, what's up? I don't know. That's just what I would do. But like,
yeah.
And we're all different. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of ties back to understand each other, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
So
yeah, like no, definitely, like very, yeah.
So it's not just about the communication. Mm-hmm. Now we can see that you cannot take the programs in silo. They're all connected.
Yeah,
they're all connected.
Obviously.
Yeah, they are so connected, and it's so powerful when you start making those connections.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what you're going to be doing is one called Before We Commit.
Before we commit.
And ideally that one was set up to be a program about... Before you get to that next step in your relationship.
Yeah.
And not that all these events can be done for anything. And we put them in little groups. That doesn't mean that they're not good for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's definitely... Yeah, just because you're not in a relationship where you're committing...
Doing it right now.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's not necessary information.
Because it might help you when you decide to do that.
Yeah.
Right? So now you know what to look forward to. Yeah. So
although in this one, we have communication starts in this one too.
Right.
That's right.
Because again, communication is just so important.
Now this one, and I think what we were hoping people might do is, in our thought process was, wouldn't it be interesting if say parents were going, you know, I don't know, my son or daughter is hooking up with somebody that I'm not really that fond of and I don't think it's the right person for them. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying we want to move in together, we want to get married. Mm-hmm. What we're thinking is, would it be such, it might be a good idea to give them this program.
Right,
and say, you get through this, and then I will, you know, approve this marriage.
I feel like the kids won't be like, screw it, do it anyway.
But, you know, and it's how it's approached, right? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to know, how well do you know each other?
That's true,
Take it as a game. Like, how well do you know each other?
And Who doesn't want a relationship that we can, like...
Yeah.
Have happiness and communication and know more about each other and like who doesn't want that? So if you want that, then this like this program is just it's the info you need to know.
I think the issue is that people think they already know,
right?
But we don't know.
You don't know,
and then just come and find out. Find out if you know. Would you want to come out and
find out
if you know?
And what we do is
that's great.
We just packet 6 events that give you a wide variety of information, so you can go in and learn a lot about this person in a very short period of time. Right. And give you a wide variety of perspectives.
So you know what
you're
in for. And
you go, what am I in for really here? Because the second event in this is conflict. Right? Dealing with conflict.
Which you're not going to experience in the honeymoon stage.
No,
when
you're not.
You decide that you're the love of your life. You're not going to experience that till after. And then you've already committed and now you're like, oh, crap.
The first disruption.
What did I do?
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's never happened before.
Yeah. Conflict is huge.
So yeah, conflict is in there. And once again, who here... I know, listening, I guess you guys can leave something in the comments if you've been taught how to deal with conflict, literally had a course on
not
it.
Not anger management.
Not conflict resolution.
Not conflict resolution. No.
But how do you
actually, like, handle and...
What are the rules of conflict?
The rules of engagement.
What are the rules of engagement?
Personality types that come up in conflict.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Victim, persecutor, rescuer scenarios.
Yeah.
Like,
and what kind of conflict personality do you have?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So how do you respond to conflict? Mm-hmm. You know, do you bully people?
Do you know what an apology is?
Yeah, do you know how to apologize properly? It's not just, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry if you feel that way.
I'm sorry. Exactly.
Right. I'm sorry you feel that way.
Oh, sorry. That sucks.
And once again, we've had so many people, once they see what a real apology is, they go, holy cow, I want to marry that person.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's an actual
apology.
Like, oh,
there's
accountability,
there's apologies.
There's responsibility, I don't know, a good apology is just so pivotal in relationship growth. Got to be able to apologize properly.
But yes, if you're planning on going that next step with somebody, this is a great event, once again, the program to take just to kind of cover a whole bunch of bases really fast in 6 weeks. Doesn't cost a lot of money.
What's the next one?
And, well, next one is destination addiction. As in, I'm going to be happy when.
Yeah. Right. And that's important for us to know prior to the relationship, because if we both have destination addiction, we're never really going to be happy in that present moment.
Right.
So let's, get that
out of
the
way. And even to get to know, what is this destination that your partner wants?
Yeah.
Right? Because maybe you have not even talked
let's get
about
our
that,
goals
you know?
In place. Let's understand that.
Goals and understand.
Let's not just spend the first 20 years of our relationship or 10 years of our relationship trying to achieve some goal and never be happy.
That's right.
Right.
How can you be happy, like you said, in the moment and go through the journey, right?
Right.
That's what counts.
Yeah. Going through it together. Yeah. Partnership.
Just friends, I think.
Is the next just friends is that standard, especially if you're getting into a new relationship and you're just kind of getting committed. You may have friends that are going to impact the relationship.
Yes. Well, I think we can all imagine a scenario where maybe we are dating someone, or we've had, you know, that person in mind, and they have this person you may feel jealous about or insecure about. Mm-hmm. They have a special relationship. Like, I mean, that could very well be that they have an emotional connection, and that's going to feel shitty, but it's important to have an awareness about it.
That's
and understand it, and have them understand it, and have that other person understand it.
We had a good conversation the other day on it, and some people picked up on it, which is really good. If you have somebody that you have an emotional connection with that's a friend of yours, so the question is, when something gets a little tough in your life and you rely on that other person for emotional support, that means you're not building the emotional connection with your partner. You always have, it's kind of like a crutch. You have an emotional crutch to lean on over here, and you don't build the really deep emotional connection with your partner. And if that's fine with both of you, that's fantastic. That's I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying be aware of it go, okay, is this impacting my relationship?
And your partner should be aware of it, right? I feel like we've discussed that.
Well, it's just like, what is your goal? Is your goal to have, like, again, it all comes down to choosing what you want to do. If you're okay with just having multiple random things that all have their own things, that's great. The awareness communication is there. But if you're wanting that true relationship, the one where, you know, that enduring love, the one that lasts a lifetime, then you have to be willing to,
you have to
put the work
that.
In. You have to work on it. It's just not going to happen. You have to actually do the work.
This kind of led over, we're going to go off topic here a little bit, but this kind of led over to the polyamory conversation. And there's no real answer for this, but we just kind of brought up the, and these are the kind of conversations we have in events, just so people realize. We'll start talking about something, and then all of a sudden the group starts talking. We were wondering if the polyamory is almost a way that people don't have to be completely vulnerable, because I don't have to expose everything with this partner, and I don't have to have that person to rely on over here and this one to rely on over there. So is it a way for, say, an avoidant to not really attach completely?
Well, I mean, it kind of is, I feel
I don't know. I'm not saying it is or isn't.
Yeah, with someone 2 days ago about, you know, they're kind of, they haven't even decided they're in a relationship, but this person is they're monogamous, and the other person is more like polyamorous, and they were telling them, you know what, I'm not judging, but it's not for me. But the person who's monogamous was saying, well, I've kind of been matched with this person who lives in my city, and now I think I should go on a date with them, but I'm not sure if I should, because now they're feeling guilty, because it's like, but this person is polyamorous. They don't really care or not. And they've told you, like, it doesn't matter whether or not you date other people. I don't mind. So why are you keeping yourself from maybe discovering someone else 100%. That could be, you could have a great match, right? So it's just a date. Why not just go on the date find out just, and not really, having that guilt, right? That,
because that's the point of a relationship, too, is, like, the freedom. I'm just touching on this because... that's the whole point, is we're choosing our partners because we continue to choose them. There's that choice involved, right? I don't know, like, but again, getting back to Bruce's point of how it may be misconstrued, depending on the relationship, I think it all just comes down to the person and the intentions that are there, right? Like, there's some people that probably do use polyamory as their excuse to not actually ever commit, but then there might be people out there who actually have developed these emotional connections with a couple people, and everyone involved is aware and communicating, and they're all on the same page.
And
like,
they have the rules.
What, if it works, freaking
do it.
Great.
Yeah, but 100%. Yeah, the example I was giving, like, you don't even live in the same city. That person is clearly a dismissive.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'll come see you when I feel like it.
Yeah, right? Why would you take that opportunity?
Yeah, 100%. So why are you staying in that?
Yeah.
Hoping, 100%. Right, that it's going to change. It's not going to change.
And what was that one? Oh, this was the side tangent.
Yeah, we just kind of went. Well, we were just on friends. Just friends, and then we kind of went sideways from there.
Well, again, it comes out to that emotional connection.
Well, every relationship comes down to the emotional connection, and it's the barriers to the emotional connection that cause the demise of the relationship.
Or the demise of the next one, which is the sexual connection.
We threw the sexual connection in there.
Well, that's very important, though. That's, again,
that's where,
part of society.
If you think of these topics, they're in this one, right? Communication, conflict, destination, we're just friends. That's some pretty meaty, meaty topics.
That's right.
Imagine a newer couple having to just talk about these six subjects and go through them.
But again, which is why What is Love is a foundation event. We talk about tempering.
That's right.
This is the perfect program to get some tempering in.
That's right.
Have the hard conversations, learn about each other, might have some disagreements. That's okay. Learn how to trust, respect, get through them.
You're going to discover things that it's like, I didn't know that about the person. I didn't know it was that.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you, you are going to, you're going to learn stuff.
And why not find out now?
Let's find out now before we commit. Before like, my God, it's literally perfect.
That's right.
Whoever named it is a genius.
We should tell
them.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll take that.
And
the next one?
Well, the sexual connection, we never really touched on that. The sexual connection's just so important in a relationship. Because that's where intimacy usually comes from. Usually, you know, we kind of get together with this interest phase, attraction, things like that. Then comes the sexual connection, and then comes the true intimacy is kind of a normal path.
Right.
Is it not?
Yeah. And then, you know, for some people to be able to have that sexual connection, they have to be able to be vulnerable first to know. They have to know that they have an emotional connection first, right? To be able to have
some.
That sexual connection. Some.
Yeah.
And then for others, it's like the sexual connection is what makes them.
Well, and that's
know?
That's a little bit more for men.
Is that what we touch on in this is what we touch on in this event?
Yeah.
Is
well, that's also in what we want
it's
in
also
bed, too.
In what we want
oh,
in bed.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a couple different events on this one.
Yeah. It's important to understand, even if, again, gender fluidity or however you want the
things
matter. To roll
doesn't matter.
The core points are the same. You can relate to it however you want to relate to it.
And
like,
men, women doesn't mean that. I mean, percentages are higher for males in one side and females on the other side, but there's crossover. It's like a bell curve. Right?
Yeah.
There's going to be different, different things. But the sexual connection, a lot of men, and just so we understand it, they're not going to feel truly intimate until...
Sex has occurred. Because it's such a vulnerable
experience.
That's when they can be their most vulnerable.
That's right. And then for some women,
for
it's
some
the opposite.
Other,
it's and like, that's, I can't get have sex until we have that sex. Conversation. Yeah. So again, if we're so having a stereotype.
And that goes back to that spoons and forks.
That's right.
And that's what we explain in
spoons and forks. And
communication. So there we go.
So can everybody see how these puzzles start to fit together after a while?
So in other words, you have to go. You
have to go to every
program.
Yeah. We've made them reasonably priced.
Yes. We have.
And then the last one here is love
the five
languages.
Yeah.
And most people are familiar.
And that's about understanding each other. But a lot of people, people are familiar with the love languages, but unfortunately, they seem to be interpreted incorrectly.
Yeah, and it might think as well that it's only about what my love language is, how I like to receive love, but there's also how... Do you give
What's the way I like to show love to the other person?
Yeah, and this is important before we commit, because then you can have the understanding before you're doing the hard stuff. Because then you can, I know how this person needs love.
Every time I do this event, there's somebody there who goes, oh, I didn't realize that's how they were showing me they loved me. But now we're divorced.
Actually, you know what? One person did say that. I remember at a live event. They said, if I had known that the person needed...
was showing me in a different way.
Words of affirmation, we probably would not be divorced because I didn't know that. So I
just didn't see. I wasn't getting the love
that you
needed or was aware of.
It could be, you know, why on earth is my husband fixing the car and mowing the lawn and working all this time? Like it...
I want quality time.
But for him, he was going, I'm showing love and commitment to the relationship by taking care of everything.
Yeah, providing.
100%. So it's very easy. It's understandable, again, before we commit, why you should know this.
Yeah. So you can recognize the patterns that they have that are going to, and we can look and go, okay, my partner's doing this. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a conscious marriage prep.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
I mean, that's the hard thing is like, unfortunately, there are going to be scenarios where you have picked the wrong person and this program
and
will show you very
clearly.
But that's okay. Because why would you not want to be with the right person?
And
right?
Sometimes people have that fear, right? Like, it's like, oh my God, well, what if he's not the one for you or she's not
the one?
Don't you want to find out now?
You're empowered now to find the one. You know. Yeah. And you know that you can trust these events to be like, okay, let's see if we can get through this. Let's see.
These events will expose weaknesses.
Yeah. 100%. It doesn't mean that you failed. And that's one of the things.
It's an opportunity. Again, if it is the right person, it's the opportunity to grow, to temper, to work through it.
And if they want to grow.
Yeah. Do they want to do this with you?
Yeah.
You'll find out real quick if they're on the same path as you. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you discovered that yourself.
What?
That somebody didn't want to do it with you.
Yeah, my last relationship. Yeah. So I've been in two relationships since the starting a conscious partner. The last one, whatever the situation was, just that.
They didn't want to grow.
They didn't want to grow. And I was like, okay, well, I want to grow, so that's it.
There was just no interest there.
Whereas this next one, the one that I'm currently in, that's all we've done from the very beginning. It has come. The first things that we did in our relationship was come to a conscious partner. We were having these conversations very early on. We were having the temporary discussions.
And you know what I found was key is that you knew that's what you wanted. Right? Yeah. You had that awareness and so you were not going to, and you loved yourself enough that you knew that didn't want that, you were not going to do it.
Because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it, you have to be doing it because it's hard. It's a committed task. I can't, if you can't understand why I need help with my triggers, why I need, communication, or why we need to communicate effectively, if you can't understand that and want to be on the same page, then why would I even bother?
Well, life is about growth. If we're not growing, we're dying.
Yeah.
Relationships are about growth. If we're not growing, we're dying. And somebody said that the other day, and somebody really, they didn't trigger on it, but they went, holy cow, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're not growing, we're dying. If we're stagnant, we're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And if one person is growing and one person isn't, then you're growing apart.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And that's why, once again, that's why we're doing this, so that people, it's easy, it's affordable, it's fun, it's effective. That's when we don't really have a lot of this in our society where we can just come out and do this.
No, we don't.
And there should be more of it.
Yes. Which is what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
So that it becomes the norm.
Yeah.
Right?
Consciousness becomes the habit that we so desire and make want.
Once again, people equate the word consciousness with, meditation basket weaving and yoga and
awareness.
Was that from last episode?
But that's not what conscious is. Conscious is just about being aware and going, it's about living your life on purpose.
Yes. Intention. Living life with intention.
I want to be with this person on purpose. I'm here.
There's a reason choosing. I'm choosing this.
And I'm going to assume you love me. Mm-hmm. I want you to assume I love you. And let's approach life from that perspective.
Yeah.
See how that logical that was as opposed to feeling?
So logical.
How do I do more feeling on that one?
No spin.
How do you think I would? See, I can't do that. You're going to have to do the feeling one.
For consciousness?
Yeah, feeling. I did the logical side.
Well, it's going to be that connection, that like the one where you can feel the understanding, the acceptance, the security. Like it's going to feel like a warm
you
blanket.
You feel like a warm person. Feel like a warm.
Well, the thing is, I can't see why I didn't go there.
Why not think that you're on a team? Right? You want the same result. Exactly. There's so many times I find, my past long-term relationship, aka marriage, where I would say, but we're on the same team.
Yeah, why are we destroying each other?
And it's okay that we're, the whole understanding each other. That we're thinking differently, but at the end of the day, we want the same thing. So why not?
That's why I'm calling it a partnership now. I don't think any of my past relationships, I always called relationships, but this is the first and only one I've ever called a partnership, because it's like, hey, we're choosing to live our lives together. So how we need to be partners in this. How can we make it so that we can mutually benefit and go through life?
We want to be individuals together.
Exactly.
And that's who care about each other and support each other.
Exactly. To be collaborating on
you're my partner. Yeah, we want the best for each other.
And so many people identify themselves as the relationship. As in, if I don't have the relationship, I'm lost. Or I don't know who I am.
The word partner is so much better than spouse. Even if people are married or not, because marriage seems to me, it's like, okay, it's this contract that we, we're stuck
into. And we're stuck together forever.
Yeah, because we, because society said so.
We're entering into a partnership.
Let's get the government involved in our relationship.
That's right. It's big taxes.
The government's always handle things so well. Everything goes better when the government's involved. That's an example of how that's actually an example of almost emotional abuse and gaslighting and passive aggressive. Because what I said was, everything goes so well when the government's involved. So nobody can really use that against me. But I've said it with a tone that
you know. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But an hour from now, if somebody is saying, "Well, you said that," no, that's not what I said. I said everything goes really well when the government's involved.
Yeah, but
and that's actually a form of manipulation.
It is. It is. Absolutely.
A lot of people do that, and it's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I never said that. Well, yes, you did. No, I didn't.
Your tone implied.
Your tone implied it. Yes, oh, so we're going by tone now? Is that what we're going by?
Yeah. But we can see how it can escalate really fast.
Really fast.
Right? Yeah.
That's a classic tactic.
Yep.
Yeah, people use.
Anyway.
So spoons and forks, clearly speaking, and before
That's coming up on the November 9th. I think it's November 9th week. It'll be on 9th. It'll be on the website.
Yeah.
And those three all will start the same week.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights.
Yeah, the spoons and forks is Tuesday nights. Before we commit is Tuesday nights, and clearly speaking is Wednesday nights. So it'll be six weeks in a row, two and a half hours a night. You'll get the work. The growth books.
The growth books, yep.
And the flip books.
So after the event, because again, the first time you take the event, it might be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah,
what event
it will
is.
Be.
So that's the beauty of the flip book and the workbook, is you can take that flip book, look at it another time with the workbook, and
growth book.
So many. But use it together.
But there's a reason we did that. We've taken the word, we don't call them workshops, we call them growth shops. We don't call it a workbook, because relationships should not be work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And what people have said, the ones who've taken the program before, is that it really helps them if they go back after, you know, like quiet time, look at the flip book, take the and then do your homework.
I would say do it a week later.
Just
because you have time to process over that week, and then go back and look at it and be like, oh crap, okay, I'm actually thinking new things now. Write it down, get it all out, right? So that's the power of the program.
Yeah. Because the 2.5 hours, it goes really fast.
Yes,
and there's so much
information.
There's a lot of information.
No, it goes really fast.
I know whenever a lot of times I get to the break, because we always have a break right in the middle. And we get to the break, people go, already? Is it, what?
Yeah.
It's an hour and some already?
Yeah. I have times where people say, no, let's keep going.
Let's keep going. And once again, for those listening, the reviews are real. Go reviews on the website. They're real people.
Yeah, real people have said these things. So, I mean, we're not lying about what we're saying. Like, it's just, it's very handy for your life.
That's number seven in the can. That's
Number seven's in the can. Remember, if you like what we're doing, please subscribe, whether it be on the Spotify or the YouTube channel or wherever it is. Review us, subscribe us, share us, comment. We'd love to connect with you. If you have like an idea of what you'd like us to talk about, we would love suggestions.
If you have questions.
If you have any questions, we want to connect with you.
Yeah, if we could build up the questions, it'd be good. That'd be a good podcast to just kind of, just deal with questions. And,
Maybe we'll do a live one day where
I was going to say, we can work in to get some awesome things going. Go to consciouspartner.com, the website, for all of the information around the growth drops and everything that we do. You can follow us on social media on Facebook at A Conscious Partner, or Instagram at A Conscious Partner, or follow Dr. Giselle at ACP Dr. Giselle, or me at ACP Jaggy. And I'm pretty sure I touched on all of them.
Can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah. Tell us what you think.
If they could figure out how to get onto the YouTube. onto the www web stuff.
Yeah. That was a joke for episode one. So if you haven't heard episode one yet, there will be a joke there.
There's an idea for you. If you just start listening to us, go back and listen to episode one.
Exactly. Well, because technically on the site, it is not in, I put it so you don't have to listen to it in order if you didn't want to. So if you haven't listened to episode one, go back to listen to episode one.
Kaylee, thanks a lot for coming out.
Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.